Well, she just called. She's in Florida. So she apologizes for not being here.
Okay, great. Okay, so I figured today that we would do a little bit of an overview of Shira Shirim, since it's a sefer that's, you know, very beautiful, but not really so understood. Because when you look at Shira Shirim, you read this beautiful love song, and it's so intense, describing this love and the passion between these two lovers. And then you think to yourselves, am I reading a romance novel, or am I reading a sefer of Tanakh? Like, what is this talking about, and where do we find that this place in Tanakh? In fact, there's, like, we know there's only 24 books, the Chafzal Sifrei Tanakh, and this is one of them that actually made it in. And not only does it make it into the 24 books of Tanakh, but Chazal tell us is that all the ketuvim are kodesh, all the ketuvim are holy, but Shira Shirim is kodesh kedushim. It's the holy of the holies, which leaves us even more confused, because not only do we have this book that somehow we're not sure how it fits into our series of holy books, but not only that, it's the holy of holies. So we have to try to understand, what is Shira Shirim? What is Shira Shirim talking about? What makes it so special, and what makes it so holy? So our first source, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, he discusses what is the appropriate love that a person should have towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is this relationship? What is this feeling? What is this emotion? And he basically says that our love for him should be so great and so strong that we should feel like this deep connection. And not only that, we should be almost crazy about him, like a person who's, you know, in love with someone or who has a crush on someone. Everything they do, what are they doing? They're constantly thinking, what would that person think about me if I did this? Well, would that person like it if I wore this? Or how could, you know, what could I do to make that person happy or excited or whatever my goal is? But you're constantly thinking about that person in every step you take, in everything you do. And that is like this love sickness. That is the relationship that we're supposed to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting, if you look at the end of the Rambam, it says, I'll read a little inside, Yotermi Zetzia Avas Hashem Beleva Avav Shogim Bo Tamid. You should be Shogim is Milashon Mishuga. You should literally be crazy about Hashem, like this love sickness. Kimo Shetzivinu B'chol Avavecho B'chol Nafshecha. With all your heart and with all your soul. Then look at the last line of the Rambam. Again, ladies, this Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva, the halachos that deal with repentance. Very interesting. V'hu Sheshlomo Amar Derech Mashal Kicholas Avani V'kol Shir Ashirim Mashal Hu Le'inyan Zeh. This is what Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir Ashirim, that I am Cholas Ava, I am lovesick. And that is what the whole Shir Ashirim is talking about. The whole Shir Ashirim is this mashal, this parable about our relationship, about our love and our lovesickness and our emotion towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, there's different series of Shilas and Chuvos that talk about different questions in Shira Shirim. And it's interesting because Shira Shirim is a Shira. It's a song. And if you look in the Torah, or when we talk about a song like Az Yashir, there's always spaces in between the song. It's called Areach Agabe Levena. Like, it's written like kind of like bricks, you know, but there's spaces. But when you come to the Shira of Shira Shirim, there's no space at all. And the question is, why is it written differently than all the other songs that we have in Tanakh? And the answer is that because it's talking about the love of Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. Hashem loves towards us and our love towards Hashem. And therefore, even though every other Shira is written with spaces, this Shira is not written because there's no separation when it comes to our love for Hashem and His love towards us. And therefore, though it is a Shira like all the other ones, there is not that classic separation, the Areach Agabe Levena. And even more so, If you understand what Shira Shirim is and how beautiful it is, then it is said that when Rabbi Akiva would read Shira Shirim, he would cry more than when he would read Kinos on Tisha B'Av. Kinos, which discusses our destruction, which discusses all the misfortunes that have happened to our people, but yet, when would he cry? When he would read Shira Shirim, because he would understand what he was lacking. He would understand the relationship that Bnei Yisrael had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, us towards him and him towards us, and therefore he would look back at it and understand what was lost. And therefore, another Shaila in Tshuva in Hilchos Ketanos says the same idea, that if you want to understand what you're missing, you have to look back to what we had. And if a person would really understand Shir Shirim and they would really read it with Kavana, it would bring a person to tears to understand what we're missing and what we're lacking. In fact, it's so kadosh that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us you're not allowed to make songs of Shir Shirim. And in fact, another Shailos and Shuvos writes that you can't even teach it to children or to Stam Amei Haaretz, people who are ignorant, because they won't understand it. There's no way to even translate it literally, because really it's all nimshal. It's all symbolic. It all represents something, but there's no face value of the words. You can't just translate it like it's simply a love song. Another interesting fact about Shir Shirim is that all the other Sfarim in Tanakh, you can learn them what we call as pardes. You can learn it on many different levels. You can learn it on the pshat level, the remez level, the drash level, and the sod level. But when it comes to shira shirim, which is this idea of kodesh kedushin, there is no pshat. There's no simple understanding of kiss me from the kisses of your lips. No, it doesn't. We can't just simply translate it because of what it means and what it signifies, and therefore shira shirim is different than all other sifrei Tanakh because there is no pshat level. Okay, so let's try to understand. First of all, when was this written? Who wrote it? When was it written? It was written by Shlomo HaMelech, and the Zohar tells us that Shlomo HaMelech wrote it when he built the Beis HaMikdash. It was like a collection of maros, of visions that he had when they were building the Beis HaMikdash, specifically when they were putting the Aron and the Kodesh Kedush. And if you look at the back side of your page, I brought you down the Netziv, which discusses, well, why did Shlomo HaMelech write it then? Why did he feel the need to write this intense, you know, love story between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, specifically at the time when Bnei Yisrael built the Beis HaMikdash? And I'll read a little with you inside. It says, "Bioter sorer Shlomo lezeh b'sha'a shabana et Beis HaMikdash ven esru habamot shayu regilim chasidei hador lakriv ulasig al yidei za'avas Hashem." So ladies, what happened when we built the Beis HaMikdash? We now had a centralized place. We can go up. We can bring karbanos. Before the Beis HaMikdash, we basically had makeshift places. We called them bamos, a little altar, and anybody could go whenever they wanted, and they could bring, you know, their own karban. But now we're a little bit more limited. You have to go up. You know, if you live down south, it's not, you know, it doesn't take 2 seconds. And also, can any person just, you know, take care of it? No, we have kohanim, we have a whole ceremony. It's not so simple. And so people who in the past would achieve this level of closeness and be able to express their love and connection to Hashem through these karbanos on the bamos, they were now restricted and they weren't allowed to do this anymore. And that's how the Chasidei Hador, they would attain Avas Hashem. Ba'atanish bas zos hasiba lo'er zehatanog ha'az kamavas. He describes this, I mean, we can't relate to it these days, but he describes this ability to bring a korban on a bama as this tainog, this enjoyment that's az kamavas. It's strong like death. It's such a strong emotion. It's such a strong feeling that a person was able to attain through bringing a korban on a bama. Ukemosha mimidbar nisoru chamishimu matayim ish gdola Yisrael asher tshuka zo hayabo er bikirbama asos mach. What happened during the time of Korach? You had 250 men who came up to Moshe and said, you know, why are you different than me? Why can't I bring a carbon as well? And it was so strong, this desire to be able to achieve and what they could achieve through this bringing of the carbon, that they were willing to not only start a machlokos, but they put themselves in a makom sakana. It was dangerous. They weren't allowed to do that. There was a plague that was rampant after this because of what they did. But where was it coming from? Yes, we know Korach had his own ulterior motive, but what about the 250 men? They so strongly desired that connection and that closeness, and which was able to be achieved through the something like a bama. V'zehaya siva asher afil b'yimei Yehoshaphat v'asa hamalachim hachasidim lo atru koach l'mnoa milizvoch l'atir b'mamot. Right? It happens in Jewish history. It's not the first time that even though we had the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't totally rid themselves of the people who really wanted to bring karbanos on the bamos, because the desire to connect was so strong that even though we had these great kings, they couldn't stop you know, the regular people from still trying to bring Harbanos and Bamos. Rak bimei Yechezkiyahu ha-melech sheherbitz Torah b'Yisrael mizeh hisponenu gam al chomer ha-isur shebezeh. ומזה מצאו מקום להסיק אבס השם על ידי היגיון תורה, כמו שביארנו כל זה בגוף הספר, etc. So he says only in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech that there was such a koach of Torah that not only people that understood that it was wrong, but they were able to connect and achieve this closeness to Hashem through Torah, then they were able to get this bummo situation under control, which is very interesting. What else is the Nitziv telling us? What is one of the ways that we're able to achieve this closeness and this dveikus to Hashem? Is through learning Torah. Which is so beautiful that that's what we're doing today. In the middle of the day, women are coming out and we're learning something a little deeper than we normally, than we have in the past. That's the way that we can achieve it. In fact, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Nagila v'nismecha bach, we will rejoice in you. And the Yaakov brings down, what is bach? Beis chaf. Chaf Beis, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Because what is that way that we can rejoice and we can, you know, be happy together with Hashem? Is through learning His Torah. In fact, we say that, you know, when you learn, it's like, it's almost like you're having that conversation with Hashem. And you're achieving that closeness. So what better way? We understand another thing from the Nitziv. Not only is Shir HaShirim and reading Shir HaShirim, understanding, and we can once again understand and reconnect to Hashem in a way that they did in the time of the Bamos, but also through learning Torah. Ubishvil kozeh hektim ha-melech b'zeh ha-shir ha-nifla ha-ma-orer ahavas Hashem b'leiv mevakshem. So what is the Shir HaShirim? What does it do? It arouses ahavas Hashem, love of Hashem, in the heart of mevakshem, those who seek Hashem out. V'gam l'mad bo l'Yisrael kolach ha-Torah shemivei lidei ahavas Hashem. And not only that, but he talks about in Shir HaShirim the kolach of Torah that also can achieve this point. V'gam behemshech ha-zverim hezira ha-bakashas ha-sagas ahavas Hashem ha-yidei drachim she'enam mehuganim. But he also, it's interesting, he warns us of the ways that are not, that we're not supposed to achieve ahavas Hashem. You know, you have, and people are thirsty, but you have to find the right way to achieve that closeness. You know, you drive by, I was visiting my brother's sister-in-law in Florida, and you drive by and there is this huge Kabbalah center. It's something like you've never seen before. It's like a block long. My sister-in-law says when they have a meeting, like the traffic and like the parking is all the way to the highway. People are searching it out. But I said, is it Jewish? No, it's just these ideas. And that is, you know, that is not the right way to try to achieve closeness in all these ways. Hashem gives us the right way. And in fact, that is the purpose why Shlomo HaMelech wrote it specifically now. Because he understood that there was a certain closeness they were able to achieve that was cut off. But he's saying, no, if you read this, if you study this, this is a way to arouse the same love. And there's other drachim, especially through the Torah, that you're not cut out in Israel. And that's why specifically now, the time that the Bamot were assered, is when Shlomo HaMelech is writing Shir HaShirim. Okay, so now, we said that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedushin, and we can't understand it on the pshat level. There's nothing to talk about. So we have to understand, well, what is the Nimshal of Shir HaShirim? We know that it's talking about Avas Hashem, but what is the Mashal Nimshal that we're talking about? So I wanted to today touch upon three different ways to understand Shir HaShirim. Three different insights, which I think is not only beautiful, but I think it's insightful to our lives. As we said, Shir HaShirim is a way for us to understand and to arouse that love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to connect that to that closeness, which is why, again, it's Kodesh of the Kedushin. So let's start first with Rashi. It's first out of the page, you have Hakdamas Rashi. And I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but basically the first paragraph of Rashi, he talks about how, you know, basically, there's no mashal to Shir HaShirim. Achadi ber v'shtayim zu shamata. We're talking about when Hashem spoke at the Luchos, when He gave the Luchos, Hashem spoke once, but we heard Shamor and Zachor b'dibor echad, right? So He's using that lashon to describe Shir HaShirim. That even though you read the pshat, it's not just the pshat, the nimshal has to come out in the same way. And so He says, you know, there's different people who try to explain Shir HaShirim, and they take a little piece from here and a piece from there, but I'm going to try to explain it Lashon HaMikra V'Sidir HaMikraos, according to the order. He's going to take some Midrashei Agada, and he's going to try to come to some full story that you can come to. And that's what Rashi says he's going to try to do. So let's look into the second paragraph. Va'omer ani sherash Shlomo HaMelech Shlomo Baruch HaKodesh Sa'asidin Yisrael L'galo Gola Achar Gola Churban Achar Churban Ulisonein Bagalaseh Al Kvodam Harishon. And Shlomo HaMelech saw in Ruach HaKodesh that what? Bnei Yisrael in the future would go through gullus after gullus, through Chorban, through destruction after destruction. And they would you know, be saddened about their Kvodem HaRishon, their first, you know, or honor and glory. L'zchor Chiba HaRishona, Asher Hayu Skula Mikol Ha'amim Leimor Elcha Avashuva El Ishi HaRishon Ki Tov Li Az Me'ata. And they're going to sit down and they're going to contemplate and they're going to think about how beautiful my first love was, my relationship that I had was in the past. How much I want to go back to that and how beautiful it was in the past. V'yizkiru es chasidav es ma'ala lam asher ma'aluv es hatovos asher marla teit lahem b'achris hayamim. And they're going to remember all the good things and all the promises Hashem gave them for the future. In the end of days, v'yaseid sefer hazeh baruch hakodesh b'lashon isha tzrura ba'almanos chiyus. Mishtokekes al ba'ala, mitrapekes al dalda, maskeres ahava nura elav umodeh al pesheha. Right? So now what? So he's writing this as if it's a widow, but he doesn't call her, she's not a widow, she's a living widow. Meaning what? Her spouse is still alive, but they've just lost connection. They're separated, and she's sitting, this live widow, and she's yearning for her spouse, and she's clinging to this, the doza, her beloved, and she remembers the love of her youth, and she's Moses, she admits to her sins. And her beloved, he's in pains because of her tzara. Umaskir chasideinu ureha, v'noi yafya, v'kishron peolaha. And he, in this beautiful story, he's remembering how beautiful she was, and the great chesed she did with him when she was young, and the straightness and the good deeds that she had. Asher bahem niksharima ba'ava aza. And how they're, through these things, they're connected in this ava aza, this strong oath, this strong love. Olo diaki lo milibo ana. Velo shlicho lishlichun ki od hi ishto v'hud isha v'hu atid lashuv elaha. And he's telling her, I'm not tormenting you willingly. I don't want this to be. And I know in the future we will reconnect and we will once again be together. And it's so beautiful. And so when you read Rashi through Shir HaShirim, what Rashi basically does is he, at the beginning, he's talking about, and I think maybe if we have time, we'll do the first few psukim just to give you a taste. But he goes through the different times. He goes through Matan Torah and through Kriyas Yamsa, and he goes through how, you know, Rachav and Yisro were Magayer because of all the things, and Chayt HaEgal, and the different, and how we went after Hashem in the Midbar. And how, once again, we'll hopefully get back to that. Hashem says, I'm not leaving you, and it's not over. And I love you, and I remember you the way you remember me. I remember the Chesed Urayach. I remember how you left Mitzrayim, and you went after me in the Midbar, and there was nothing there. And that's how Rashi is going to read through and understand Shir HaShirim. So now, I like to call Rashi the national yearning. It's Bnei Yisrael as a nation yearning to once again be on that closeness and that level with Hashem. And you'll see certain, you know, historical things that are referenced to throughout Shir HaShirim. The Malbim has a totally different approach. And the Malbim, it starts on the first side of the page. This is the Hakdama. I cut and pasted it. The Malbim is extremely long. We won't read the whole thing inside, and I didn't even give you the whole part of his Hakdama. The Malbim starts here. And the Malbim basically says that every person has two heads. He has, and everything that we do is pulled in two different directions. We have Aleph, Harosh Ha'achad Yifne Derech Beit On, Hu Chaye Hagof U'Pu'ulasav HaChomriyim, Shehu Mitzad Hayoso Ben Adam Alevavo Pone El Hatzlachot Hazmaniot. We're man, and we live in this world, and we're pulled towards, you know, this temporary success of Olam Hazeh, right? Lesof Hom VeOsher LeVakesh Kavod UMeshara LaOv Chandas Olam VeTanugos Basar. Right? We're people. We want to amass wealth. We like respect. We enjoy a good piece of meat. There's things in this world that we enjoy and that we're pulled towards. The Harosh Hasheni Yifne LeMesalah HaOlam Beit El Hu Chaye HaNeshama UPilosa HaRuchaniim. And then what's the second part that we have in there? Our neshama, the spiritual side of us. That's pulled towards spiritual things, right? Shehi mitzara yosa bas shamayim, right? And ulahov et Hashem, uladav kabo. It wants to cleave to Hashem and to love Him. Well, SS Hevlezman, and that part of us hates wasting time, silly things. Mitkadeshes mitumas agoya, right? And we have these two different sides in us. The side of the seichel, the side of, you know, that is the neshama that's pulled towards higher things, and we have the guf that pulls us towards things in this world. And we have this dichotomy in us, and we have these two things that are basically, you know, pulling on the sides. Okay, so now, how do we understand this in terms of the mashal? Basically, we know Shlomo HaMelech had 1,000 wives. So this is a mashal, specifically talking about Shlomo, but clearly, as we all read it and relate to it today, it obviously speaks to each and every one of us. It says, Kibein, so turn the page, Kibein hamon ha-nashim asher hayo l'shlomo, chashkan asher raya achas hayafa ben Hashem. So yes, Shlomo had 1,000 wives, but there was one girl that he desired most. But he mechutanas eroatso ba-midbar. But she was betrothed, she was married to this simple shepherd in the midbar. But he had to have her, and he took her from her beloved. He took her into his palace. Right? Basically, he took her into the palace, and he gave her a crown, and he put washers over her because he knew that she really loved her simple shepherd. And basically, he tried to give her everything in the world, and he tried to entice her and to get her to love him. He gave him everything, a crown, and I mean, the one that she really loved was a simple shepherd in the desert with nothing. But that's who she really wanted to be with. But Shlomo tried everything to keep her captured inside of his castle through giving her things and also through putting guards on her. But obviously, she wanted to escape. And her heart wasn't enticed to all these beautiful things that Shlomo tried to give her. She was lovesick for her shepherd. She despised this bread and the wine and all the fancy things he gave her. She just wanted to be with her shepherd. And every day the shepherd would go outside the castle where she was captured. But obviously they couldn't contact each other, but they would talk through the walls, through the cracks, through the spaces. They would try to connect, but obviously there's almost only so much you could do. They were separated. And he would make her signs of how she should escape, and how she should find him in the mountains, where he's encamped. And there were different times that she was actually able to escape, but obviously, you know, every time they brought her back. So what's the nimshal? The nimshal is our neshama and our guf. We have our neshama that really only wants to be with our simple shepherd. We want to be with our beloved. Who's our beloved? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're put in a body, and the body is trapping our neshama from that ultimate tzveikus, that ultimate closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the body tries to entice us with all the beautiful things in the world. There's so much to enjoy, and to distract us from our ultimate goal of what we really want and what we really want to achieve. And there are times when we are able to escape. In fact, you'll see, if you read through Shir Hashirim carefully, there's a few times, and those are actually, we say, the times that Shlomo HaMelech was able to achieve this, you know, Ruach HaKodesh. Because what is it when a person really achieves Nevuah? You're separate from your body. Your body is nothing. In fact, sometimes it looks like they say, I've never seen a person get prophecy, but, you know, from what I read, you know, read that, it's like almost like a person's like an epileptic shock, you would imagine. There's nothing there. The body's shaking. The neshama is davik to Hashem. And because Shlomo HaMelech so desperately sought it out, and he so much wanted to be davik to HaKadosh Baruch, he was able to achieve that. But obviously, it's temporary, and the Benot Yerushalayim were able to bring this, you know, beloved maiden back to the king, back to the body, back to reality, back to the Tanuge Olam, and to the things which distract us, the money and the kavod, and, you know, all the things that take us away from our ultimate goal. But ultimately, at some point, you know, he is able, you know, to escape. But, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He talks to us through the charakim, through the kir, through the holes and through the walls, and he leaves us, you know, messages. He leaves us signs of where to find him and where to see him. We can't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's Hester upon him. But there are things that he does for us and how he takes care of us. And there's ways, if we really want to look in the world, that we can see a Kadosh Baruch Hu through his nisim or through the things that he does and how he takes care of us. But we have to know to look for them. And this is how the Malbim looks at Shir Shirim. This whole story, you know, this quote-unquote, this saga with this woman who is taken from her beloved and this evil king who's trying to entice her. And so when the Malbim reads through Shir Shirim, he reads it as a, you know, the Malbim has two columns when you look at the Malbim. He has the Mashal and the Nimshal. And each pasuk he talks about, you know, the mashal, the story between this king and the beloved, and this king and this girl and her beloved, the shepherd, and then the nimshal to the guf and the neshama. It's long, and again, parts of it are very esoteric and a little hard to understand, but that's the basic gist of how the Malbim approaches Shir HaShirim. And there's one more that I'd like to look into, the Tzur HaMor, also known as the Nesivus. Boys learned in the base measures. You can tell your husbands, they'll be very impressed that you learned the Nesivus. When I told my husband, he was like, "You're teaching the women the Nesivus?" So it's the Tzur HaMor. He also has a parish on Shir HaShirim. And it's very interesting. So the way he understands it is similar to Rashi in that he looks at things that have happened, but it's a futuristic approach. So it's some things are similar, but yet at the same time very different. And then it's interesting because if you look at different psukim, there's even discussions as to who's actually talking in the psukim. Is it Bnei Yisrael to the other nations? Is it the other nations to Bnei Yisrael? Is it Hashem to Bnei Yisrael? Depending on how you'll interpret those psukim. Okay, so let's look at the Tzur HaMor. It's on the first side of your sheet right here. The Hatargim and Rashi Kasvu Shekol Ashirim Kodesh Bishir Ashirim Kodesh Kedushim. Right, we said this before, that all the songs, all the ksuvim are kadosh, but Shir Ashirim is the holy of the holies. Ulechora ein lo havana Shir Shasa Shlomo Yiyah Yoter Kadosh Mishir Shal Moshe Rabbeinu V'Kol Yisrael. I mean, this is a very good question. We have Az Yashir Bnei Yisrael. We said Rasa Shifcha Alayam Rasha Lo Ra Yachaska Babuzi V'Nivuasav. Az Yashir was the Shira that Bnei Yisrael said at Kriyas Yamsuf, when every single Jew, even a simple maidservant, had a higher level of prophecy than Yachaska Babuzi. So we're saying that this song that Moshe and Bnei Yisrael wrote, that the one that Shlomo is more important, is more kadosh. It's a little bit hard to understand that how something that Shlomo, and we know that Moshe was the ultimate of all the Nevi'im. Every other Navi who achieved Nevuah was aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. It was like fuzzy. It was a glass, but it was dirty. You couldn't see clearly. But Moshe Rabbeinu panim el panim azaberbo. He was able to talk to Hashem panim el panim. So I would think that something that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, something that he achieved in Nevuah, would be on a much higher level than Shlomo HaMelech, which is said that he wrote this in Ruach HaKodesh, which is not even Nevuah. So how do we understand that the Nesivus wants, the Tzur HaMor wants to know? V'ner adds, Hine amru b'medrash, Mashal l'melech shekidesh isha, v'kasav la'matanos mu'atos, kevan shebala l'kocha, kasav la'matanos mu'os, kach ha'yud ha'zeh erusin, shenemar v'aras tich li la'olam, V'gomer, aval limos ha-mashiach yeh ha-nisuin, shenamar ki ba'olcha ha-siyach ha-v'gomer. V'anyan she'az tedabek ha-nefesh shehiye el-chelek elokai mimal, v'akol shehu ha-kadosh baruch hu, v'zeh mechuna b'shem nisuin. V'amu b'shas kol ha-nevi'im lo nitnevu, ela limos ha-mashiach v'olam haba ayin lo ra'asa. V'lazeh isi shapir. Okay, before we continue. So basically, what's the Tzur HaMor saying? Saying there's two stages. We have an engagement and we have a marriage, and the engagement is very nice and, you know, it's very exciting, but it's not the same level of closeness and tzveikus of a chassan and a kala to a husband and a wife. It's not even the same. So what he's saying is that we have two stages with our relationship with Hashem. Right now we're in this bechina of erusin. We're just engaged. You know, we almost got to that point. If you read through the Tzur HaMor with, you know, Matan Torah, but then there was Chede Egel, and we weren't ready for that complete Tzveikus. So there was the separation. We never got to that level of Nisuin. The Nisuin is the ultimate, the Asalava, when we're really, really Davik Tashem, when there's no separation between us. So he says, Ulazat Asi Shapir. So this makes sense. Kevan Deshiras Moshe Loya Rak Al Gulas Mitrayan. Shaloya Rak Bechina Seirusin. Masha Ein Kain Shir Zeh. Who, Diber Al Ha'olam Haba. Shehu Kadshe Kadashim. Umesaper B'Shevach Yisrael Masha Yelahem La'olam Haba. Shehu Bechina Seisuin. So that's how we understand this. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu's love of Nivu was stronger. But the Shira that we wrote, the Az Yashir that was at Kriyas Yamsef, was only that level of Erusin. It was only the level of engagement. But this Shira of Shlomo HaMelech is talking of the Bechina of Nisuin, that ultimate marriage, that closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's La'asad Lavo. And that's why Shira Shirim is Kodesh Kedashim. And it's on this quote-unquote higher level than Az Yashir. The Nechlal Bashir Zeh Bakashas HaYisrael Me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamaher Lahem Zman HaOlam Hava HaMelchone B'Shem Nisuin U'Mashal HaKnesses Yisrael U'Mashal HaKnesses Yisrael Mevakeshes Me'oras Shalal LaMaher Zman HaNisuin Me'yar Aseh Shemayim Aspa Machmas Yidi Aseh Shechata'a Negdo Mevakeshes Shem Chola. So what are we doing here in Shir Shirim? What is this? It's this dialogue between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. And Bnei Yisrael are begging Hashem, please, be mamaher the Geula. Bring about this Nisuin. We want this ultimate closeness because we're afraid. We know we're frail. We know we sinned. And we're afraid that our sins will bring us to a point that you won't want us anymore. That you're going to want to break this engagement. And we just want to be close to you, Hashem. And we just want to be dovek to you, Hashem. And Hashem, this is a dialogue, and what's Hashem saying to us? No, Bnei Yisrael, you are my beloved, you are my Kala, and there's not a chance that this is ever going to break up. We're going to get to that point of Nisuin, we're going to get to that point, and I'm still going to call you my Kala, Kimsos Chasan Al Kala, I'm rejoicing upon you like my Kala, and I still love you, and I'm still happy with you, despite all that has happened. וגם מה שמדבר להאומות שלא יסמכו בראשם מפלס וצרס ישראל לומר עבדת תקבסם ולא אומר אורו אורו על היסוד ואומר להם שתדעו שאתם מושפעים ועומדים מחולכים כלומר מוכרחים אתם בגזירותיי כמפי שבועה שכל מה שתעורו צרות הישראל לא יהיה כליון חס ושלום בהם ולא יסקיימו הצרות וכל הצרות הבאות עלינו הוא רק לעורר לבינו לאהבה סו, יצברך לשוב לו, כדי שיקרב הגאולה במהרה בימינו, אמן. And not only in Shir HaShirim is this dialogue between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem, but Hashem is warning the other nations. You think you're going to bring tzaros to Bnei Yisrael, you're going to tell them, Avdu Tikbasam, the hope is gone. That is not the case. And no matter what happens, no matter how hard you try to hurt Bnei Yisrael or destroy Bnei Yisrael, it will never come to that. You will be responsible for that which you do. And the tzaros will never have kayama. They will never be upheld. It's not going to be like that. And anything, and Hashem is telling us that anything, any tzara, any misfortune, any bad thing that comes upon us is to wake us up, is to arouse us to come back to the point that we can come to the Nisuin, that we can come to be ultimately be davik to Hashem. So therefore we can really bring about the Geula. Bnei Yisrael are, you know, beg Hashem, please bring the Geula. And basically one of the things Hashem says to them, I tried to do that in the past, Bnei Yisrael, but you really weren't ready. You know, we had Matan Torah and then we had Chayne Egel. We need to get to that point that you're gonna be ready so that it can last, so that it can work. But Hashem's telling us, no, Bnei Yisrael, you should know that when misfortune happens to you, it's not just a clap. I'm not going to let anyone just hurt you, but it's the point to arouse you, to bring you to a better state. In fact, we say, translated as, any ailment, any plague that I put upon Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha, I will not put upon you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, I am Hashem your healer. So I ask you ladies, I mean, okay, maybe we don't have dumb these days. I've never seen, you know, I've never turned on my faucet and it had blood right out of the sink. But I could tell you that I have it. I lived in Eretz Yisrael and I taught in seminary, and Baruch Hashem, the girls shared a lot of things, including their lice. You know, we have lice check a few times a year in our schools and our yeshivas. We know what it's like. So what does it mean? Hashem's saying, I never had an ailment that you had in Mitzrayim. But, well, we know what lice is. Maybe it wasn't as bad. But Lamai said there are things that we have a situation now in the news with locusts, right? It sounds familiar. So what does it mean? It means any of the ailments that Hashem gave Mitzrayim was just to punish them. It was like, this is it, Mitzrayim, you're done. You didn't listen to me, I gave you a lot of chances, it's over. There was no positive purpose. Hashem says, Lo asem alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. I am Hashem, your healer. Anything I do to you, any ailment I put upon you, it is in order to, you know, to heal you, to make you better. There's a positive purpose, like the Torah Moor says. If we have tzaras now, it's to arouse that love for us in Hashem. You know, sometimes, you know, they say there's no atheist in a foxhole. You know, when you come to that point, you know, if you can't turn to Hashem necessarily when things are good, sometimes things are not so good, and then you realize, oh, I have to remember Hashem. You know, we look at stories, we don't always understand what's going on in the world. You know, a person who's, you know, goes by the pediatrician's office and sees them holding down the child, either, you know, to give them their immunizations or to take blood. You think, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on here? What kind of parents are these? But you know, it's the same idea of Kiani Hashem Rofecha. It's to make the child better. It's to heal them. It's so that they don't get those, you know, they need the vaccines or they need the blood taken for whatever they need, but it's for that positive purpose, and that's the difference. And that's what the Torah Amor is talking about. All the negative things that are happening to us, it's just to bring us to that point of ultimate closeness and to that point of that we of the geula. So those are the three different versions of. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more, and there's a lot of things, but these are the three different ovaries. We have the national yearning of Rashi. We have the you know, the individual yearning of the Malbim, of the Guf and the Neshama, the struggle that we have as individuals, the struggle that Shlomo experienced. And we have the Torah Hamor, which I would say is, you know, the futuristic interpretation of what we had and what we are, you know, we are once again yearning for. So Shir Shirim is huge. It's a class onto itself, you know, hours and hours of learning and just trying to understand it. But we have a few more minutes, and I thought it would be nice, I would open up the Shir Shirim. Sorry, I didn't photocopy it for you. And not even to read anything inside, but just to, you know, look at some sukkim and see how we can understand it according, you know, to these different explanations, just to get a better understanding of what's going on. Sorry, let me just open up. Go. Okay. I feel like it will come to life when we read it inside a little bit. Okay. So we have Shir Ashirim Ashir L'Shlomo. Yashkeini Minashiko Pihu Ki Tovim Dodecha Miayim. Again, remember there's no pshat, but I'm going to loosely translate it just so we understand what the psukim are referring to, so we can understand the mushal and the nimshal. Kiss me from the kisses of your lips, because your love is better to me than wine. L'reach shmenecha tovim, like the fragrance of good oils. Shemen turak shmenecha, you know, your name is flowing like oil. Al kain alomot ahavucha. Therefore, the maidens love you. So again, if we look at this according to Rashi, we're talking about the shir that we say in our as a live widow, and we're looking back to the past, and we're talking about what we had, and we're saying Yashkeini Minishikopiu, kiss me from the kisses of your lips. When do we experience this? Obviously, Rashi says there's a lot of different types of kisses, but the kisses on the lips of that are closest of what we achieved at Har Sinai when Hashem gave us the Luchos, when there was that. That Tzveikos. And what happened at that point? You know, Hashem's good name had spread, we said, like this oil, and therefore people came and were Megayer. We had Yitzro, we had Rachav, and that's why it says, Al Kain Alamot Ahavucha. The other nations have loved you. According to the Torah Hamor, the Bnei Yisrael are again asking Hashem to speed up the Geula, the Yom HaNisuin, and then we're going to come to that point of Panim El Panim Adaber Bo. See, whereas Rashi is looking upon it as something that happens, the Torah Amor is looking at it as something that we are asking to happen, that when we come to that level of Nisuin, of marriage, then we will come to that Panim El Panim Adaber Bo. Now, the Torah, he says the Torah is called Yayin, right? Because there's a Gvul. You can only drink so much wine. You get shikr, you'll get drunk. But in the future, it's going to be like shemen. That the more it is, the more the smell is better. You know, if you open up a bottle of perfume, the more it spreads. The more you have, the farther it spreads, and the farther it reaches. So therefore, now we are limited. Again, we are the chin of erusin. But in the future, we will be in this marriage. And it's just interesting. That's what we're asking for. We're asking for this point that we can come to that closeness, and that there's no gvul to learning Torah, and there's no bounds to what we can achieve. And that's just, you know, one of the things, obviously, in Shir Shirim, not only is it this love story, but there's so many, you know, important lessons, life lessons that we learn from it. That what here? We have this idea of, what are we asking Hashem for? We're striving for more. You know, a businessman, he always wants to increase his business. He wants to be better. Or a teacher, better at what they're doing. And here as Jews, what are we asking Hashem for? We want to increase our ruchnias, our ability to connect through Torah, our ability to learn Torah. We don't want to be limited like the wine that you can only drink so much until you get drunk. We want it to be like the shemen. And again, if you look at this according to the Malbim, we're talking about the beloved and how she, obviously she yearns to once again, you know, be able to kiss him. But right now she's limited. She only senses him through the shemen, which is the sense of smell. She can't see him. She can't feel him because there's that separation. But she wants to be close, and she says to him, "Ki tovim dodecha miyayin," because your love for me is better than yayin. It's better than all these things in Olam Hazeh that Shlomo HaMelech is trying to give me. So we have to end here, but obviously there's more. I just did the first two psukim just to, you know, to get a little bit of a feel.